What text of Scripture does any preacher select for his grand finale? I'd have you take God's Word and turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews and chapter 13, the text is verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? And forever. And so that one glorious sentence is the first words of the last sermon that I will preach as your pastor. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so they will also be the last words of the last sermon that I will preach to you as your pastor. Now, you've heard me say many times that every portion of Scripture must be appreciated in its full context. The immediate preceding context, of course, are verses 1 through 7 of Hebrews 13. What's going on here? Well, having given the first century church its marching orders, fact is, the age of the apostles is coming to an end. And so is the near closing of the canon, that is the 66 books of the Bible. So what does he tell them now at the end of his epistle? He tells them in verse 1 of chapter 13, what? You must continue to love one another. He knows that it is absolutely essential that they, as God's redeemed, must stay bound together in love. Take a glance there at verses 2 and 3 for further instruction. They must show, interestingly, hospitality. That's not too hard to do if you're loving each other. They must show hospitality in an increasingly inhospitable world. That's what you see in those two verses. As parting words and marching orders, he addresses the fundamental institution of all society in all times and discusses marriage. You see that? In verse 4, he's saying really that godly marriages must stand in stark contrast to a world of fornicators and adulterers. After marriage, it maybe is appropriate, the next thing he mentions in his closing charges is money. Believers are to believe, he would say today, what you Americans have on your own currency. In God, we trust. So it says in verses 5 and 6, doesn't it, that we are to be free from the love of money. Why? Because our security is only in the fact that God says he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He says there, doesn't he? The Lord will be our helper in all things, at all times. He's telling us we do not have to be afraid. Clearly, this last chapter of Hebrews is preparing the saints for turbulent times that lie ahead. And having realized that, I thought to myself, no other text would do as the parting words of a pastor. So see this on this Lord's Day in particular, will you? Verse 7 says, and this is one of the charges to the congregation, they should remember those who led you. You're not going to forget me, are you? That's not exactly what he's saying here. It's a specific way in which you remember those who were called and appointed to be an under shepherd to the needs of the flock. And here's what he says about what you should remember. There's a lot of things I'd like to see you forget. But remember those, he says, who led you, and this is key, who spoke the word of God to you. And considering the result or the outcome of their life, of their conduct, of their walk with the Lord while they were you, the charge is imitate their faith. Frankly, I appreciate all the love expressions. I'll take them all. All the hugs, all the kisses, except from some of you guys. But the highest tribute to a parting pastor is that as he goes to do whatever else God is calling to do, that there would be something that remains as part and parcel of your very being that was birthed because of the preaching of God's changeless word. Amen. Treasure that word in your heart. They need to remember what they were already taught. But then, in all of the changing times, the author of Hebrews here gives them just one more sentence of truth in order to secure, I believe, their future, their destinies, that they ought to bind this one reality to their hearts and their souls. It is this truth. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. Glory to his name. Or as the chorus we used to sing when I was a young person, all may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Jesus. Jesus. Ever the same. What he was, he still is. What he is now, he shall ever be. Bless me with an amen. We have the Savior's own confession on this. It comes at the very close of human history. You know, the Bible records the close of human history. It is one of the shout outs of the book of Revelation. And the Lamb who is this Jesus will repeat it not once, but twice. So I think we should get it. Here's what he said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God. Now listen carefully. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're in Hebrews at verse 8. During this present interim stage of grace, for Christ has not yet returned, these days before his return, we know that Christ remains always and forever fully, completely in charge of his church. He is still purifying it. He is still building it. He is still equipping it. Pastors will come. Pastors will go. new pastors will take their place, but only Jesus remains the same. Amen? This is exactly why we are taught to place our confidence never. To place our confidence not in any man. Never on the arm of flesh, it will fail you. But only on the everlasting arms of God and His great faithfulness, with whom there is never seen even the shadow of turning or change. Think about this with me. What He was on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church, well over 2,000 years ago, He is today. And this same Jesus that those, it's one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts, that same Jesus where stood those trembling men of Galilee. They saw Him lifted up from the earth and ascending to His Father. And they stared and they stared and they stared until an angel finally told them they're going to have work to do. But know this, the angel said, that same Jesus that you saw ascend into heaven, that same one will come again. And the King James, I love it, says, will doubtless come again. Without a doubt, it is certain. And He will receive us unto Himself. And so shall we ever be with the changeless Lord of our great salvation. If indeed He is the same today as yesterday, I think it would be good to review for a few more moments who He was in ages past. And we stand in awe that what Scripture reveals concerning Jesus is that He always was. It is that He was with the Father in all of eternity past, with no beginning and no ending. We learn further that anything that is, all things that ever came into being, came through this one. And the Scriptures couldn't make it more clear. And apart from Him, nothing came into being. So when the first book of the Bible tells us how everything came to be, I'll remind you, it was with words. Words that were spoken by what John called the Word, His words. It was this second person of the triune Godhead who started it all. And all He had to do was say, let there be light. There was light. He, by His Spirit, breathed into lifeless clay, and man became a living soul. If you're one who's been here a while, you have heard me say many times that I love Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and I call it the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. There's the picture there of man's fatal flaw. But man's sin and disobedience is countered by the gospel, what I like to call in Genesis, in embryo form. The gospel in embryo form. Jehovah, remember, spoke to the serpent and said, I will put enmity between you, devil, and the woman. In fact, it'll really be an enmity between your offspring, devil, and her seed. Oh, you shall bruise his heel. But he that comes from this woman's seed will crush your head. That's the John 3:16 in embryo form. Genesis 3:15. So, in the fullness of time, The Spirit implanted divine seed in the womb of a virgin. 9 months later, he comes to ultimately destroy the works of the devil, to defeat death itself, and to redeem us to himself. The same Jesus that spoke a universe into existence will be the one who stretches out his hands and feet on the altar constructed at Golgotha. But it's that same Jesus today, right now, in this second, who will keep you and me from the evil one and guarantee to bring us into his glorious forever kingdom, where he remains the same, even as he was before the foundation of the world. Look back. Always, does it sound strange, doesn't it, in this world? I say, keep looking back. Look back on the stage of history. There he was, revealing at that time all that he still is today for us. And so he could say, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. As I was to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I will be to you. As I dispensed persevering grace to Job and to Noah, the same grace is abundantly sufficient for you. As I nurtured the root of Jesse and called David, a man after my own heart, so I have written you on the palm of my hands, I will never let you go. All that the prophets of old declared me to be, I am. I am that I am. I am to you. All that the apostles learned from me, I am teaching to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and tell. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. How could my blood, he would say, ever lose its power? With it, I will continue to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As I made my glory to shine out of the Patmos cave, so my glory will be revealed to you in that last day, and you will rejoice in it, and you will bask in it. In the world, you will have tribulation, but fear not. The same Jesus, I have overcome the world. Beloved, all may change. So you change, pastors. All may change. But Jesus, never, never. You know, between the Savior and myself, only one of us will change. For it does not yet appear, and I cling to this, what we shall be. But we know that when he who doesn't change appears, we shall all be changed. Is that good news? For we shall be made like him, never to change again. Your pastor does not place you in the human hands of the next most fallible pastor. I pray and hope for you that he is far less fallible than I have been. But I do not place you there. No matter how great his gifts or his sincere heart may be, I remind you today, you have always been, you will always be in those nail-scarred hands of the great and the good shepherd. He makes no mistakes. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Look out for the pitfall. Do not lean on your own understanding. Just keep acknowledging Him. He will direct your path. I'm moving on and I'm going to preach under the banner, Greater Grace. You like that? Greater Grace. He gives a greater grace, it says in the Epistle of James. As for me, and since you've been kind enough, many of you, to ask with real concern, here's what you need to know. Someday this stammering tongue will falter no more. And a more grand and sweeter song I shall sing. For I'll join the ransom choir on heaven's bright shore forever to praise my King. And there while the ages roll, I'll keep praising Him. There my voice will never crack, never grow tired or old, and my song will ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages roll. You will too. What a choir we will finally be. And until then, I'll be supremely happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp His name, preach Him to all, and even cry in death, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. Say it with me, and forever.